You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows, like The Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Just dandy, sir. Just dandy. How are you?
I don't know what dandy means, but you make it work, my friend.
Neither do I, but it sounds good.
It's one of those phrases that's just been around since phrases have been around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mikey, I think he likes it. But anyway, so we are back, and as promised during our Ace Ventura episode, for some reason we said that we were going to do the Nutty Professor following. I don't remember how
Let's establish that Paul had a drunk text when he was like, these are all the movies we should talk about, and Nutty Professor was one of them.
That's right, that's right. That's what Sean and I drunk text about. Yeah.
No, you were drunk. I was quite so.
Well, if you're not drunk on a Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon, what are you doing with your life? Sean.
It's a very good point. A very good point.
For the record, it was not Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was probably a Friday night or Saturday night, and well within normal parameters for drinking.
It was 5 o'clock somewhere.
I don't have a problem, but anyway. So we're back, and yes, we are going to be talking about The Nutty Professor and The Nutty Professor 2: The Clumps, starring the amazing and talented, and at the height of his resurgence career, Eddie Murphy. But first, Sean, tell us about original Nutty Professor from 1963.
Oh, the original Nutty Professor, yes. Came out in 1963. It was a science fiction comedy written, directed, and starring the great Jerry Lewis. It's pretty much the same concept as what we know the Eddie Murphy Nutty Professor to be. He is a teacher in a college. Very, very... very in this one, he is not fat, he is very like nerdy. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, you know, and that is the main difference between the two. He's bullied by the school, you know, basically the head of the school. He is always on the verge of being fired, and he comes up with a formula that basically turns him into a handsome man under the ego of Buddy Love. And many people believe that when the movie came out that Buddy Love character was a shot at his former partner, Dean Martin. Hmm. He's said, no, it was never supposed to be a shot at Dean. You know, he might have copied a few mannerisms of Dean Martin in terms of the way Buddy Love, you know, looked and, you know, was and stuff. But Dean Martin is nothing like the character of Buddy Love. So Jerry Lewis had to really fight back on that.
I like how they still keep the name Buddy Love in the films that we're going to spend more focus on. But his name in the original is Julius Kelp.
Kelp, yes. And, not Clump.
Yeah, so just an interesting... And especially Sherman Clump.
Yeah.
I mean, what...
And because I think the name Clump, it just kind of worked well more with the character being a larger man. I don't know if that makes any more sense, but I just feel like Clump, it just sounded better for the Eddie Murphy version of the character.
So 1996, though, this is when this first movie came out. Eddie Murphy was doing really well at this time.
He was doing pretty good. It was kind of like his, I guess you could call, this movie kind of, I guess, brought him back into the mainstream. I mean, he had been doing
The Beverly Hills Cops he was in.
Well, the Beverly Hills Cops were in the 80s, and then the third one was in the early 90s, which was not a success. He had done Vampire in Brooklyn right before this movie, which was not a success. Couple of like action comedies that were not really, you know, successful. This is probably his first big success since like Coming to America or something like that.
And then following,
but it's also a PG-13 comedy. It's more geared towards many different people, unlike some of his previous works, which, you know, were specific to audience.
Yeah. And then following this, he also was Mushu in Mulan. That was a big one.
Mushu, Dr. Dolittle, which was huge.
Dr. Dolittle. I like those movies.
I like Dr. Dolittle, yeah. Dr. Dolittle, I mean, I remember, again, we were 11 when Dr. Dolittle came out. I just remember that movie laughing my ass off at that movie. Yeah.
And I like the yeah, second especially one. With, second one, too, is fine.
The second one was pretty good. The second one was pretty good. Not as great as the first one, but it was pretty good.
Bowfinger.
but yeah, this definitely kind of, I guess, I don't know if rejuvenated is the right word, because I don't think he was not successful. He was not like, you know, people would still go see his movies, but it definitely gave a boost to his box office.
Yeah, it's well before Norbit. Oh God, I have not seen that movie.
Mary, mother of God!
God, that movie was so bad. But and of course, this movie was a huge success for him. $54 million budget, and he walked away with $274 million and a sequel, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's talk about this first one. So Eddie yes. Murphy stars in multiple roles, which they double down in, and for the second one.
Yes.
And this is not his first time doing multiple roles of characters with different looks and different makeups. Coming to America, obviously, he was very famous for that, too. But let's...
Coming to America, he did it in Vampire in Brooklyn, not as much, but Coming to America was the first big one where he played multiple characters, and then in this one, he took it to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah. And then, obviously, the second one, the clumps are the title in the second one.
Yeah.
But I will never not love the Tropic Thunder joke about... these movies.
Oh, with Jack Black.
As the fatties. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, super subtle. I loved it. But Eddie Murphy's main role is Professor Sherman Klump / Buddy Love. Now, I don't, again, I don't remember the original one because I've never seen it. So I guess I can't remember something. I never saw the original one is what I meant to say. And
yes.
In the original one, did he have two different personalities like in this? Or was like, because in this,
yeah. No,
in this
he was, movie. He was. You know, the nerdy help, and then it was the smooth-talking, very chauvinistic, rude, and, you know, conceited Buddy Love. I mean, they were, it was very, very, you know, stark differences between the two characters. Mm-hmm. Similar to this. I mean, the way he portrays Buddy Love in this movie, in Eddie Murphy, is very similar to kind of how Buddy Love was presented in the original.
Because in this film... they show Buddy Love at first. He's still Sherman. Like it's just Sherman skinny and
you see that he kind of changes, you know,
and develops his own personality,
own persona. Yeah.
And then obviously the second one, he's a full on villain.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so this movie starts off with Sherman Klump. He's morbidly obese, but you know, like he's like a nice guy. Like everybody really likes him.
With the guinea pigs around the whole campus.
Oh my God.
I forgot about that.
He's working at Wellman College, and he's working on a formula that reconstructs someone's DNA for weight loss, like so that people can lose weight easier, which, you know, like we get, like, obviously he's a big guy. And is it this movie or the second movie where they go through, I think it's this movie where they do the montage of him trying to work out.
Oh yeah. It's this one. And then he's playing the Richard Simmons character in the beginning, which at first, like, I mean, you know, as a kid, I was like, you know who it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Richard Simmons. And I don't think I noticed that it was him for a while, that it was him doing that.
But so he's trying. He's doing like the work and he's not losing any weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets introduced to a new colleague named Carla Purdy, played by
Jada Pinkett.
Oh, God.
This is before she was married to Will Smith.
Yeah, she's still listed on the credits as Just Pinkett. God, what a terrible person she is. But anyway.
Your feelings, Paul.
Oh, my God. She's been a nightmare this whole year. Like, just stop talking. Stop doing interviews. Just people need to stop asking her questions because she's telling everybody everything. And I love, 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 love Will Smith. Love him. Mm. Love him. Anywho. So she does go on a date with him, though. Like, he eventually asks her out and they go to a club called The Scream, and it's a comedy club. So he gets made fun of by the comedian Reggie, and who plays Reggie?
Dave Chappelle.
And apparently he reprised this role on Chris Rock's 1997 album Roll with the New. He played Reggie again.
And most of their stuff, their back and forth, was improvised.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. But yeah, so they go to a comedy show, and there are comedy shows where, like, the comedians will interact with the audience. Like, usually when Sean and I go to comedy shows, it's like an actual, like, show, and it's literally, they do their set, and that's that. But there are comedians that will, like, they'll make fun of the audience, they'll talk to them and all that stuff. So He gets made fun
of. You never sit front row in a comedy show.
No, it's dangerous.
Unless you want to be talked to or made fun of.
No, unless I'm looking good, you know, then everybody should see me. But anyway. So all of the, like, this is like the final straw for him, and he decides that he's going to test this formula on himself.
Well, you skipped a part. What did I skip? His dinner with his family.
Okay, tell us about the dinner with his family.
Oh, come on. Tell us about that. Is the best part of the movie.
Tell me how you feel.
This is how I feel. I think it's one of the funniest moments in movies.
Hercules.
You first see the family together for the first time and just the back and forth that they have. Again, this is 1996. You know, pulling that off where you have to film him as one character, film, you know, him as the mother, film him as the brother, film him as the grandma, and then film him as Sherman. I mean,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, they did it like with Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox had to play three different people. But in this, they didn't get them in one full scene together. And you can kind of...
You can see the chops. Tell. Yeah.
You can see... Well, you can see that it's not him in certain times. Unless it's a close-up on the character, they probably just have stand-ins and the makeup and stuff like that. But, I mean, oh my God. Again, I believe this whole scene is probably like improvised because it is just... Doesn't fail. Every time I watch this, I'm cracking up between back and forth between the father and the grandmother. You know, want your colons cleaned? Well, fine, I'm going to clean mine. And then they just start farting, and it was just... And then, of course, Hercules, which has become...
Synonymous with the series.
I mean, it still is an iconic, line that people know.
Well, it was smart to... So they have to stage this scene in a way that they can... film each character, but also not interfere with the other characters, right? So it was smart that they had, like, I think the wife or the mom of the group, she's with the nephew, who's, you know, Hercules. So that way she's in a shot with him. Then the dad's sitting by himself. And then I think, like, the nana
is... grandmother's by herself.
And then...
He's sitting next to the brother at some point. You see the two of them in the same scene together.
Yeah.
So that, obviously, and that's clearly... both Eddie Murphy. So they did have to do some good technological work to get that looking seamlessly. But
yeah,
I mean, it's not, and again, it's not knocking it, but it's not like the greatest filmmaking shots of all time. It's just, they do it in a way that worked to make it believable that they're all at the table at the same time, obviously. And I mean, truly, I really believe, I mean, I think this is the funniest part of the entire movie. Like, just
that one.
And they didn't expect it to be that. Like, I don't think he expected those characters to really take off like they did, obviously, as we'll talk about for the sequel.
Yeah, so just so everybody's clear, Murphy plays Cletus Kump, which is the father, Anna Pearl Klump, which is Sherman's mother. Ida Mae Jensen, Sherman's grandmother, Anna's mother, Ernie Klump Sr., which is Sherman's brother, and Lance Perkins, a parody of Richard Simmons. Just going through the rest of the cast, because we didn't get a chance to. We also had Jada Pinkett, as we mentioned, as Carla, who they only mention in the sequel, like, briefly, very quickly.
Yeah.
James Coburn as Harlan Hartley. I don't even remember who that is. Mm-hmm.
He's like the donor for the school that they want.
Oh, that's right. Larry Miller, who I'm a big fan of Larry Miller, as Dean Richmond.
I love him. He is so, like, lovable to hate in this movie, because he's just so rude to Sherman all the time, but he's got some good zingers.
Well, and also, he was just doing 10 Things I Hate About You around the same time.
A couple years later, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that movie. And he's funny in that movie. One of my favorite lines from that entire movie is, what does he say? Party as in orgy? I don't know why. It's his delivery. I can't do it. I'm sorry, everyone. John Ailes is Jason, who does reprise his role in the sequel. Jamal Nixon as Ernie Klump Jr., who's Sherman's nephew. And he's the only one of the Klump family who's not played by Murphy. Montel Jordan as Montel. What? And Ned Luke as a construction worker. So it's a very small cast.
That's not a big cast at all.
So
I really thought the kid who played his nephew was the kid from Old School.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. But he hasn't done a whole lot.
Nah.
Paul Blart Mall Club.
But yeah, so it's, you know, of course, you know, his parents are giving him grief because he is mentioning how, you know, he really, you know, wants to, you know, lose a little weight. And, you know, we get the famous farting scene and all that stuff. So that's another factor in, you know, he doesn't want to turn out, he doesn't want to be, exactly like his father. He doesn't want to be his family.
And he's also very different than the rest of his family, just with his intelligence alone. He's a smart guy.
He's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy. And he has that dream where he's kind of like Godzilla in the streets.
Was in all the trailers.
The one little chicken. And of course he starts farting and the guy lights the match and blows up the whole city. Stupid humor, but it was funny. It really was. I loved it.
I love it.
And then we finally get the scene where he takes the formula and he becomes thin. And I think this is another famous scene where, you know, he's like, you know, going like, oh, I got cheekbones. I got cheekbones.
Go ahead, say it.
And then he opens up his pants and he goes, well, I'll be damned. I can see my dick.
Yep. And he's like running out of the science hall, like screaming all these things too.
Yeah. And he's running down the stairs. I was like, I can do this.
Spandex. Everything's.
Oh, that was great. It's like spandex. All spandex. Where's your spandex section?
I mean, not going to lie.
Modeling in front of the camera.
Like, he lost 250 pounds. I can't even imagine how that must feel. Like, I like to work out. I like to eat right. But if I suddenly lost, if I suddenly lost 20 pounds, man, like, I'd be like, oh, my God, I feel so free. I can run. Shrek. But it's wild. That's like a person and a half. So, obviously, though, they realize that the transformation's only temporary.
It's only temporary. He runs into Carla, obviously, in his thin form. So, like, he has to come up with this, you know, other name, and he comes up with Buddy Love.
Because somebody says, hey, buddy. You
know, yeah, and he's, you know, pretends to be kind of like Sherman's
colleague,
partner, or, like, you know, co-worker or something like that. And he kind of keeps up this charade, you know, for a little while, and then finally Buddy starts to take credit for everything Sherman's doing.
Well, we forgot the most important, my personal favorite, is so he does invite her out, and she does go out. And they go
to the same club.
To the Scream again, and Reggie's there, but now Buddy takes revenge for Sherman by heckling him mercilessly, and it's really funny. Like, he makes fun of his teeth, he makes fun of his outfit, and then they end up having, like, a minor physical altercation, and they do the song Loving You on the Sing For Me, Reggie, and he, like, pulls his hand. He's like, ah. But, yeah. So we also find out that Buddy's starting to develop his own personality due to heightened testosterone levels in the transformation. So he goes from, like, his regular good nature. He's still Sherman, but now he's becoming more perverted and super confident. And, you know, Jason, the lab tech, the one who's like, hey, man, like, this is going too far. He's, like, he's developing his own personality.
Yeah, because Jason catches him. He's at the restaurant or the bar with them, and he notices the credit card that says Sherman Klump, and he looks, and the bartender's like, it's that guy. And he goes, that's not Sherman Klump.
So yeah.
He kind of goes to confront him, and then we get those late 90s really, you know, weird visual effects of him turning back into Klump and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Of these movies, like, the special effects are what kind of haven't aged well.
So now Jason is the only one that knows that Buddy Love is Sherman, and Jason becomes kind of like the voice of reason. It's like, you can't keep doing this to yourself. It's not good for you. He's the one that points out, as you just said, the testosterone and stuff like that. So, so he has to start, staying away from Jason because he knows Jason will, call him out and stuff like that. But now Buddy is starting to kind of the inner part of Sherman, and he's like able to control Sherman and tell him what to do. And, he starts giving Sherman's ideas to the college and taking credit for him. So it's all.
Yeah. And at the same time, he is dating Carla. Like, they're kind of in a relationship, but then Buddy, he gets invited to the alumni ball the next night, and Buddy cheats on Carla with three women. And Carla dumps him. So,
because he wakes up. Well, yes. And then he wakes up as Sherman.
And she comes over. Yeah.
And then she thinks he's like now with Buddy. He's like, he turned into, he's like kind of turning into the way Buddy is.
So he also gets fired. So Sherman, he attempts to stop his alter ego from destroying all the serum samples, which he does with Jason's help. However, Buddy is hiding a sample of the serum in one of Sherman's diet shake cans, which is, So
you tricked him.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, I don't know, like having another personality like that. That's just wild. Yeah. So Jason discovers that Buddy's testosterone levels are at a lethally high 60,000%. So that's a lot of testosterone. The fact that he is still clean shaven this whole time is wonderful, because like that too much testosterone, his hair would be growing. He'd be like just roided out of his mind.
But he realizes that if Buddy drinks a certain amount of the
formula,
formula again, he'll erase Sherman forever. Mm-hmm. So he has to go and stop Buddy before he can do that. And that's when we get this final scene at the gala where,
yes, you know, I can. But yeah, so they have their, like, I will say, me, myself, and Irene did it better.
Oh, with the inner, well, because that was just pure
fighting your personal, fighting your ultimate
comedy on Jim Carrey's part. You know, they were doing the whole visual effects with Eddie Murphy. I mean, that one is, it's still a little wonky, but it holds up, the ending to Nutty Professor, where it's like, you know, the fat starts to pour out of him and stuff like that.
Yeah, so they, and, you know, it's like a nice, happy ending. Like, he defeats Buddy, quote-unquote, and, you know, Carla's like, well, why would you do this? And he's like, because I didn't think you'd accept me the way that I was. And she's like, no, you're the best. And they, you know, he puts on a new tux, and they have, like, a nice little dance, and, you know, the movie pretty much ends.
Yeah, and that's kind of much how the original ends. It's very similar. You know, they end up together, you know, so, yeah.
It's
nice. And the movie was a very quality movie. I remember seeing this in theaters. I remember laughing, really enjoying it. It was one of those movies, you know, you would own, watch it every now and then. And then, what is it, 4 years later, we get the sequel when they announced that they're going to do a sequel. And
it's not nearly. But see, it's funny. I, as a kid, I liked this movie better than the first movie. I think the first movie was a little bit more adult humor for the most part.
Yeah,
this movie doubled down.
I didn't
care
for this one that much, because it just took what I loved about the first one and just did too much of it. Like, again, as you've pointed out numerous times, with, like, you know, the minions, you know, like, oh, the minions are good when they're, like, you know, in the background, but once you, like, start bringing them to the forefront, it doesn't get funny anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about the clumps. I mean, to me, the clumps work when you're, you know, 15 minutes and that's it. But when you have a whole movie where you really kind of revolve around them, I just feel like it got played out and just wasn't as good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Ace Ventura where the sequel's better than the first one. Callback. Got him. But yeah, so let's go. Do you want to do a Star City rating for the first one first?
Yeah, I'll give that a 4.
I'm with you. I think 4 is pretty solid. It's a good movie. I need to sit down and watch it, though. Unfortunately, trying to watch any movie nowadays, they're all on Pluto. Stupid Pluto. I don't even know what this is on. What movie were we talking about last night that was on Pluto? Oh, man, this is going to drive me crazy. We're going to have to figure this out. No, it's okay. You're just, you know, not helpful at all. Silly goose. But so the second one rolls around 4 years later. And, you know, like, they literally said what it was going to be. It was going to be the clumps.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've seen the second one in probably 20 years.
Really? I used to watch, every time it was on, I used to watch it.
I saw it in theaters, laughed, thought it was all right, but then just never, it was never a movie I needed to really watch again.
All right.
There are some funny moments, like with the grandmother and Buddy, which is, you know, disturbing, but it's funny.
There's, you know what, this movie though has a lot of, surprisingly, a lot of, like, heartfelt, real self-esteem family issues. Like, we'll go to it, but there's a subplot with the father, and he's having trouble performing, and, like, they play it for laughs at the beginning, like the grandma, like, makes fun of him for it, and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. shit, but, like, it's like a solid, like, that's like a thing that they tackle and, like, talk about, and it's something that, because he tries the formula. So in this movie, Sherman creates an anti-aging formula, de-ages you, and which is awesome. If I could have anything, that would be, like, that would be it. That'd be so cool. What age would you go back to? I mean, we're only in our mid-30s. We got lots of time, but I would go back to 20s.
Go back to my late teens.
Late teens? Wow, you're going far. I would go to, like,
where would you go?
Like 22. So I could still drink.
17, 18, you know.
I could still drink. It's mental. God, Sean. But let's go through the cast really quick. Eddie Murphy reprises his role as Professor Clump, Buddy Love. Papa, Young Papa, Cletus Klump, because that's a new one, Ernie Klump Sr. / Mama and Anna Klump, Grandma, and Lance Perkins is in this?
I don't remember.
Janet Jackson as Denise, who replaces Sherman's girlfriend in the first one, from the first one, Carla. She was mentioned very briefly, but because the actress who played her left due to marrying Will Smith, her pregnancy, and later signing on to the sequels to The Matrix. Stupid.
I forgot she's in The Matrix sequels.
Yeah, Niobe she plays. They did a video game based off of her and her partner, happening during the events of the film. It's actually a solid game. But let's see. Larry Miller reprises his role as Dean Richmond. John Ailes reprises his role as Jason. Now we also have some new people. Well, Jamal Nixon plays Ernie Klump Jr. again. We got, let's see, Richard Grant as Mr. Gaines. Anna Marie Horsford as Mrs. Gaines, Denise's parents. Let's see, Melinda McGraw as Leanne Guilford. Wanda Sykes in this? Jeez. As Chanel. Frida Payne as Claudine. Oh, they're in the salon. That scene. Okay. That makes sense. Nikki Cox as Miss Taylor Stamos. I don't know who that is. Okay. Good for her. Chris Elliott is in this as the restaurant manager, of course. Earl Bowen as Dr. Null. Charles Napier as a 4-star general. God, they get some weird people in this. But yeah, so the movie starts off, and this movie starts off the opposite of the first movie, where everything is going great for him. Like, he is living his best life. He's created this new formula. He's got a girlfriend that he's very much in love with and is about to propose to. And just everything's, like, going well. Everything's, like, really doing, like, but unfortunately, he has, Buddy Love is still existing in his mind as, like, a voice that and a personality that sometimes takes over. I really enjoyed that setup instead.
But Eddie, doesn't he just show up, Buddy Love? Like, doesn't
so
he, like,
what happens just... is he starts influencing Sherman's behaviors, like making him say inappropriate things, like, why don't you come down here, let me put my beef in your taco? What? Like, just would constantly, like, pop up, especially when Sherman's, like, stressed. It's like, in terms of psychology, it's the id, his, like, mm-hmm. part of his personality, and it's still inside him. So what he just and it actually ruins his first proposal attempt. That was the whole let me put my beef in your taco, like, because he's got the mariachi band playing. So he decides he wants to get rid of Buddy permanently, and his Jason tells him not to because they don't know what the kind of consequences there might be. But Sherman actually uses Denise at the school is developer of a method to isolate genetic material so he can actually remove certain genetic traits, right? Probably like disease and stuff like that. But so he uses it to remove the DNA of Buddy. But what happens is I think the canister that's holding it falls over and the dog, Jason's dog, like the bloodhound, is nearby and a piece of hair gets into it. And Buddy just needed a piece of DNA to attach to recombine, and he reforms himself with partial dog DNA. So throughout the movie, anytime like dog things happen, like he's there and he's kind of like involved with it. So it's an interesting change, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, Buddy comes back, but at the same time, Sherman apologizes to Denise and they become engaged. And we find out that Fleer Pharmaceuticals has offered Wellman College $150 million for the youth formula. So Sherman and Denise, though, go on a date and they go see, I don't even remember what movie they go, but they go to the movies and there's Buddy. Hello, fat ass. I'm back. And that's when he finds out that not only is Buddy back, but he's also his own sentient person. So shenanigans ensue where Buddy finds out that there's this offer for $150 million for the youth formula. So he wants to steal it. And of course, we get to the famous scene of him and the grandma. Oh, God, it's so gross. That
takes teeth out.
Oh, God, I'm knocking you too. Oh, no. It's she thinks he's a stripper. That's what it is. Like, they're having a bachelor party for Denise and they think, what's his face? Or she, just the grandma thinks that he's the male entertainment for the night. So at the same time, also, Sherman's dad is having some frustrations, and he accidentally drinks some of the youth formula because Sherman hides it there so that nobody can find it. And, you know, he gets all young, and he tries to, like, he goes out for a night, and then he tries to, like, seduce his wife, but she's like, no, what are you doing? Like, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. So we also find out that Sherman is dealing with repercussions from taking out the genetic material, that it's actually damaging his brain. So he's, like, slowly getting more and more dumb, essentially. Mm. So Bunny manages to steal it, and he fills the rest of the vial with laundry, with like fertilizer or laundry detergent or something like that. So when they go to demonstrate it on the gerbil turns into a giant monster gerbil. And
when he attacks the Dean Richmond,
essentially made love to, I think is the better terminology. But yes, so he does attack the Dean, and Sherman gets fired because like
that man ain't never going to be right again.
No. And the best is he's walking away and just the back of
his like, all clawed.
Oh, God. So they find out that, you know.
That's the type of stuff I laugh at. You know, like,
absolutely. So we find out, though, that his brain is deteriorating, and he breaks up with Denise because he's like, hey, like, I'm just going to get worse and worse. Like, I don't want to put that on you. But his dad gives him the best advice inadvertently, telling him, like, you need to get that back. Get what you're missing back. And it's Buddy. He needs Buddy in his DNA. So Sherman strugglingly works on a brand new formula that's accelerated because he needs to turn Buddy back into like a liquid form so that he can basically ingest him. So they use a tennis ball with the formula in it, and him and the Dean go to confront Buddy. And they throw the ball, and I just remember he's like he takes out the ball, and Buddy goes, oh, you bastard. I don't know why. It's just really funny. Again, it's all delivery. But so they manage to turn Buddy back. And just when we think there's no chance because like Buddy goes too far, they manage to use like, I guess Buddy gets into a fountain. So they start drinking the fountain water and he gets all of his intelligence back. And him and Denise get married and they live happily ever after. Yay. So
I don't remember any of that.
You don't remember any of that?
No, like I said, I haven't seen this movie in like 20 years, and honestly, I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, so you are not in the minority, because on a budget of $84 million, which is about twice as much as the previous one, it only pulled in $166.3 million. It didn't even break $200 million.
Yeah. I remember it was not considered a hit, like not a big hit as the first one was. It was the third highest opening weekend for 2000. Behind X-Men and Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, and then it just dropped.
It fell off. Really, it fell off right away in its second week. So it was not a sustained winner. And so, it got a 27% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, average of 4.5 out of 10. So yeah, it was not considered a hit by any stretch.
So I asked you your Star City rating, but I don't know if you could be able to tell me.
I could tell you. I'll give it a 2.5.
I'm going to give it a 3 just because I think I remember it. That's mostly nostalgia berries at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the movie. I just don't remember it enough to warrant, you know, but I can tell you again, because I haven't seen it in so long, it's not a memorable movie to me.
Oh, that's too bad. But
I don't know if they ever talked about doing a third one. Maybe this one, the unsuccessfulness of this one led to them not doing it. But, you know, again, I think this was kind of it was a short window for Eddie Murphy in like that 96 to 2000. And then after that, and after this movie, he kind of started making really crappy movies again.
Yeah,
like he couldn't decide if he really kind of fell towards doing kiddie, you know, more kid friendly movies like Haunted Mansion, this, you know, Meet Dave.
Oh God. Meet Dave. And of course Norbit, which is like Norbit. They touted.
I Spy. Remember I Spy? He did I Spy.
Oh yeah. I actually liked I Spy. It wasn't that bad.
So, yeah, he really kind of fell off again, and then, you know, he had that little success when he did Dreamgirls, but he really hasn't recovered, in my opinion. Like, no. Nothing he's done has been all that amazing. He's got a Christmas movie out on, I want to say it's Netflix, but I hear it's not good.
No.
He's got the new Beverly Hills Cop movie coming out in the next year, which I will watch because I love the Beverly Hills Cop movies.
That's fair. And he did Coming to America, too.
Yeah, which is, you know, it had its moments, but it was nothing compared to the first one.
Yeah, of course not. But anyway, that's going to wrap us up for today. But we do have our Fan Feedback Friday, which I had to make a bigger list because somebody was not happy with my previous list. And they're still not happy with this list. So there's just no winning.
Hey, that's your wife. Don't look at me.
You were unhappy as well. So I would appreciate
with the first one.
You were unhappy with this one too.
That's true. Because you put all not you. This is not directed at you. Whoever made that thing, it's like cartoon shows, and all of a sudden there's just one movie mixed in. I'm like,
so the Fan Feedback Friday was, what was your favorite 80s cartoon? And the list was He-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, The Real Ghostbusters, Inspector Gadget, DuckTales, The Smurfs, Silverhawks, Beetlejuice, Transformers, G.I. Joe, and the one that Sean's annoyed about. They put All Dogs Go to Heaven on this one. All right, I know. But anyway, for the most part, the majority of voting went for The Real Ghostbusters. But Sean did do an honorable mention of, what was it? Care Bears?
No. Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears. I misprinted. Relax.
God, man.
Relax. All right. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. Just go to our Facebook page every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have Fan Feedback Friday up. So make sure you guys check that out. If you're looking for more of our content, our website, themisfitfaction.com, has news, reviews, articles, and more. So make sure you guys check that out. And of course, we're on all the social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever it is. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But I think that's good. Unless you got another gem. You got anything else, Sean?
That's pretty much it for me.
All right. That's going to wrap us up then. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.